This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I remember us playing against Newcastle in 2006 and they had Obafemi Martins up front. The quickest player in the league at that point. And they, as Newcastle usually do, they punted it upfield and it was going towards the corner flag. Martins almost there already. Mr. Kenny decides to, the best course of action is to go in a foot race with Obafemi Martins to the corner flag. Obviously doesn't get there. I don't think we conceded, but when I saw that, I thought, that's my goalkeeper. That's the ambitions there, the drive. It might not reach it, but the drive's there.
This is the Chef United Way podcast with In Good Nick and Hal Stewart.
Welcome back. This time, it's not just myself and the wonderful In Good Nick, but we've also got David Taylor, who's the editor of Dem Blades fanzine. David, how are we doing?
Very well, thank you.
It's good to have you on because I have every single copy of Dem Blades since it first started. But for those not familiar, please tell us all about it.
It was started a couple of years ago by my friend Sam and his other friend Sam, which is quite difficult for me email-wise. And they just wanted to create a fanzine for United, something that anyone can join, anyone can write for, creative stuff, analytical stuff, anything that comes out of a United fan's head goes in this thing.
Oh, that's brilliant. How much is it?
It's a subscription service. So it's about, I think you get four issues for £20, I believe. To be honest, there's how many pages in this one? They keep getting bigger. We need to probably at some point start being cruel, but it's just too much good stuff. So I think this is about 100 odd pages, this one.
Yeah, it is good stuff. And there's some very witty writing in there. Also, you do give away great stickers with it, which my nephews adore. And I've got my badge. You're wearing yours. It says Blades Against Racism, and that is something that I know you and I have talked about already, Nick, is how important we think that, you know, hate and inequality based on skin tone is something we have to continue to fight against every single day. David, it's something you guys are continuing and progressing with even as we speak.
We were discussing it. It was mainly when David McGoldrick received that horrible message, and so many people came out to criticise that and condemn the message, and rightly so. But then we got to thinking, yeah, we're criticising that, but we're going to criticise that because we've got a personal link to it because he's a Sheffield United player. Would we be as vociferous? Would we be as outspoken if it happened to a player from another team? And so we thought, you can't really say anything unless you sort your own house out first. So that's where Blades Against Racism came from. Okay, yeah, there are other people here that feel the same way as me and we can support each other and actually speak out. Because that can only benefit society, really. There's also Owls Against Racists with the other side of the city. And it looks like we're going to be collaborating with them in the next couple of months to do a more city-wide thing. Because as much as we're not the best of friends, it's only good for the city. The two biggest teams in the city can get together and work something out with that.
Yeah, we can all be united with that one, and very much in agreement. So if people want to get Dem Blades fanzine, David, how should they do it?
They should visit the website, which is demblades.co.uk. There'll be a link at the top of the website to be able to subscribe to that. There's also on the website, we have articles, a few articles from previous issues, some digital only articles and things like that there as well, and a few videos. But yeah, so everywhere, one-stop shop, demblades.co.uk. And if you want to write for us, which is also important, very important, just get in touch with hello@demblades.co.uk or get in touch with the Twitter account and we'll be glad to have you on board.
Now, one of the other reasons we brought you on is because we are all Blades fans of, I'm going to sort of say a similar age, and Nick is going to have a go at me later because he keeps calling me an old man. But we thought we'd do something a little bit fun, which is a favourite Blades 11. We've all got our own favourite players, and we really must make this very, very clear from the outset. This is not best players. our favourites, so we can't be wrong. David, do you want to start with your goalkeeper?
So, goalkeeper, it was quite a difficult one because you've got, at the start of my following days, you've got Tracy and Kelly vying for the number one shirt. But then Mr. Patrick Kenny came along. The only reason I'm picking him, the one reason I'm picking him, is because I remember us playing against Newcastle in 2006. And they had Obafemi Martins up front, the quickest player in the league at that point. And they, as Newcastle usually do, they punted it upfield and it was going towards the corner flag. Martins almost there already. Mr. Kenny decides to, the best course of action is to go in a foot race with Obafemi Martins to the corner flag. Obviously doesn't get there. I don't think we conceded, but when I saw that, I thought, that's my goalkeeper. That's the ambitions there, the drive. It might not reach it, but the drive's there. So Kenny in net for me.
I actually remember Simon Tracy doing something very similar. I can't remember what team it was. Maybe Norwich away.
Norwich.
It's right, yeah, in back of it. I remember Simon Tracy doing that, coming out and almost running the other direction. Yeah.
I just want to back you up on that. I remember that as well, and I'm pretty sure that was Norwich. And I was just thinking, as you were saying that, David, that is the kind of thing Tracy, you know, because he was more prone to something that was a little bit kamikaze, certainly, than Alan Kelly.
Yeah, much, much safer, for a cliche, much safer pair of hands, Alan Kenny, when it came to decision-making, definitely.
David has gone with Paddy Kenny in goal. Nick?
I've gone for the exact same player, if I'm being completely honest. I think that I had Simon Tracy on the back of a goalkeeping shirt once when I was very, very young, but I don't think I was old enough to appreciate Alan Kelly. And same with Simon Tracy, because a lot of people have told me that Simon Tracy was really, really good, like obviously way before I started watching Blades. So I remember Simon Tracy as not being quite as good as Alan Kelly. So I want to just push those two out of my brain totally. Obviously, we've got Dean Henderson, could have gone for, but Paddy Kenny had him for a lot longer. I just loved the guy. Nobody got anywhere near that goalkeeping spot when Paddy Kenny was the keeper. And he's just my childhood. So I'm happy with going with Paddy Kenny as well.
I like that. I mean, obviously, Kenny is definitely one I considered. Simon Tracy was, I believe, on the verge of an England call-up. And certainly, because I'm mad old, Nick, I saw a lot of
Alan
Tracy.
Alan Hodgkinson. Is
that's my era, yeah. 37. So I watched a lot of Tracy, but I have gone with my favourite goalkeeper, which is the one that I think influences you most when you are at that age, when I was sort of really getting into football when I was a teenager, and Alan Kelly was our number one. Even when you said you'd got Tracy on the back of your shirt, Nick, you still had Tracy 13. You still had a backup keeper's number.
I did.
No one else got 13 on the back of the shirt, but I've got a Kelly 1 Avec purple shirt, which you've seen, Nick, in the past. And Alan Kelly, for me, so reliable. I don't actually remember him ever making a mistake. But one of my first ever away games was Huddersfield away. And sort of first few minutes, Tracy bobbled the ball underneath him for the back of the net. And we lost 2-1. I have to give it Alan Kelly. Just never made an error. We're going to go to right backs. And Nick, I already know who you're going to say. So I'll go straight to you.
It might be a Greek player. He might have not played too many games for us. I wish we'd had him for a lot longer, but we sold him to Derby County. Vasilis Babokis, what a player that lad was. Maybe he's not the best right back we've ever had, but by far my favourite. Just the free kicks, the deliveries. When he got himself into a good position to shoot, more often than not, yeah, the scorer at least got a good shot in there. He was great on the ball. He liked to try and take players on and, like I said, get some great balls in. Just everything about him I loved. I remember recently when we did that podcast with Paul Devlin, he said that he didn't like to defend. But that's not what you want to see from a fullback. You don't want to. You want to see them attacking. You want to see them creating chances.
Well,
I
mean, he gave us a few palpitations in that debut against Sunderland because he was playing further forward than Jan Agafjortov. he was just mesmeric, and you felt like if he'd been given a free rein and he could have played anywhere on the pitch every game, he'd have done something exciting every game. Took a great free kick. I think it was just we weren't used to seeing defenders like that at Bramall Lane. So that
I think that the thing is as well, what you can say is that at that point we played with three centre-backs like we do now. So we had that licence to bomb forward. So three centre-backs should be able to look after two strikers, which is what most teams played back then. And especially if you've got either Wayne Quinn or Vasilbakis staying back at some point. Yeah, but yeah, three centre-backs gave him that licence to get forward.
I've gone with Vass as well, so I might as well just jump straight to me before you, David. I loved Vasilis Bobokis, and I was thinking earlier, you've got to have Vass at right-back, and then I suddenly thought, actually, I don't have to have Vass at right-back, but I am, because he could actually have played anywhere. David, who are you gone for at right-back?
Joker-in-chief Rob Kozluk at right-back, because it just seems like every single former pro has a story about how he has messed them about. And he's the sort that I knew people like at school that were infuriating if they did anything to you. But as soon as it was someone else, it was the most hilarious thing you've ever seen. Just some of the stories on the Paddy Kenny under the Kosh podcast that I was listening to the other night. Just he seems crazy and he's still doing that sort of thing. He's a free spirit. And to be fair, he was a great servant of the club. He a lot of appearances for Sheffield United. So I think he's a worthy fullback on the right for Sheffield United here.
Yeah, and I've met him a few times. Really nice man, really funny, could also play left back. Yeah, doesn't get enough recognition for how good a footballer he actually was. So great shout. He was my second choice. Left back, David, we'll go straight back to you.
Today, with the sports science now, Derek Geary could have avoided the injuries that he had and been an absolutely phenomenal fullback in the Premier League for years. I love Ender Stevens, but I think Derek Geary Woods, in the formation we have now, he had such stamina. He's a dynamo on the left. And I just really enjoyed watching him go at defences. I think it was Ashley Cole said he's one of the best fullbacks he played against. I just enjoyed how he just loved bombing up and down the wing. So yeah, Del Geary for me.
I didn't take into consideration Geary because he's obviously right-footed, so I didn't even think about him on the left. But he did, in that Premier League season, we had players switching kind of fullbacks, didn't we? Wherever we could. But for Geary, the Wednesday fans wrote him off. They were like, he's a crock. He'll never amount to anything. I think he went to Stockport after Wednesday and then he came to us. So I think nobody expected him to reach the heights that he did. And obviously him and Koze both played in the Premier League for us, and you wouldn't have thought it. And they didn't look out of place, did they?
No, and actually, Geary played for Stockport against us before we signed him from Stockport. And I remember him getting some abuse. I mean, we had no idea. We would take him to our hearts and he'd become a Bramall Lane favourite. That's a great shout. I love that, David. Nick, we know you haven't gone for Del Geary, but who is your left back?
I'm going to go for the same era as Vass Bobokis, Wayne Quinn, because I loved him going down the left, Vass down the right, getting balls into the box, creating chances for Yanaga and Brian Dean, even if it only was for like half a season. But I think Wayne Quinn obviously scored a winning penalty for us in my first ever giant killing that I remember against Coventry. Weird to say that it was a giant killing us against Coventry. But I'm a massive fan of Wayne Quinn. And if we can get him on a podcast, that'd be excellent as well.
Yeah.
And he's apparently found the elixir of life, Wayne Quinn. It's ridiculous. He just puts a pair of glasses on and just take those off. He's the same person as he was however many years ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, beauty regime he's got, I certainly need to use it as Nick keeps reminding me of how old I look. I have also gone with Wayne Quinn. I think one of the reasons is he came from our youth side, and any player that comes from the youth setup, I instantly give them so much more time. And if they then prove that they can play a bit, I really take him to my heart. And it was a sad day when he went to go to Newcastle. I think they never saw the best of him. We thankfully did. I know he returned later, but I think at that point, he wasn't the same Wayne Quinn. I don't know why, but yeah, good shout. We're going in agreement there so far, Nick, with two players. David, the first of your two centre-backs.
It just through his force of personality, he needs to go in. I think at the end of this season, there should be a new statue. There should be Chris Wilder and Alan Neil in the middle. Billy Sharp on the right, probably doing a scissor kick volley or something. Then on the left, a very thin man with his arm up in the air, maybe pneumatic, doing this, Chris Basham. Because Chris Basham is just the epitome of Sheffield United to me. He has developed with us from the doldrums. We got him for a few grand from Blackpool, was it? He was in midfield. He was everywhere. Didn't look great. And then all of a sudden became an absolute world beater. As I said, he looks nothing like a football player, but he does some of the best tricks and turns I've ever seen a United player do. It's phenomenal rise. And I think he will always be linked with Chris Wilder. They'll always be linked. And he'll be linked to our rise, I think.
Yeah, he's sometimes our most attacking threat as well.
Absolutely.
Just incredible.
His engine's unbelievable as well.
Well, his steam engine. I'm going to go with Chris Morgan. I think he's just the man I think synonymous with the word captain. I think he led by example. That moment at Wigan where I think it was Lee McCulloch who punched him in the face. He just breathed in, didn't go down like a modern player might do nowadays, didn't retaliate. Massive shiner by the end of the game, just carried on afterwards, just said, just part of the game, and actually earned the respect of the Wigan players as well. There's that moment with Carlos Tevez, we threw him to the floor, just Mr. Consistent. And I met him as well on holiday in Mallorca, and he was an absolute gent. So Chris Morgan.
I've got two, obviously, and one of them is Chris Morgan. I remember the first game that he played, he flew. He either got pushed into a hoarding, absolutely smashed into it, and then just got straight back up and just carried on. And it was just, that were like, Chris Morgan's arrived. And I remember him, I don't know if he was joking, but I think he said that he'd signed the wrong Barnsley centre-back. I don't know if that was tongue-in-cheek or if that was that was a true story, but he definitely didn't sign the wrong Barnsley centre-back, because what a legend that man is. And he will always be the Sheffield United captain in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. He was my other choice at centre-back because he was just a man mountain at the back. He would not move. He would never go over. Mm. He would just keep going, dust himself down and carry on. He was the epitome of a captain for the club, I think.
Absolutely. Any young player who watches football now needs to see clips of how Chris Morgan played the game, because that's the way the game should be played. And he had a bit of skill as well. That overhead kick against Nottingham Forest, I was there. Who saw that coming? You know, he clearly could actually play a bit as well. Top man. So that's one centre-back for Nick and I. David, you've done your two. So Nick, I'll go back to you for who you've got partnering in what's looking like a very attack-minded team, your other centre-back.
Phil Jagielka. Absolutely loved the guy. And when I played football for Middlewood, I got handed the number 17 shirt. I was devastated about it. And then Phil Jagielka rose through the ranks, number 17, and I was like, yes. And it kind of the number made me want him to be good. And then obviously got better and better, started at right back, was brilliant at right back, then came in, he started in centre midfield, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And then got moved to right back, centre back. He's played everywhere. Wherever he plays, he's excellent. I kind of didn't want him to come back in a way, because we've had so many James Beattie, Marcus Benn, all these players that come back, and you just kind of want to be like, I want to remember him as that player. And that's definitely the player that I'm putting in my team right now.
I've got Phil Jagielka as well. And, you know, I can't really dispute any of that. I remember when we'd just been beaten by Wednesday at Hillsborough, we'd absolutely outplayed them as we always do, but we'd lost. And we went to Norwich away. We weren't expecting much. And Warnock played Jags at centre-back for the first time. We're all there on the terraces saying he's lost the plot. You know, we were 3-0 up with Ife Onora being sent off after like a few minutes. We improved without Ife Onora, surprisingly. But Jags was incredible and nothing got past him, and we ended up winning the game 3-2. Ever since that moment, he's been one of the best centre-backs. I don't think Jags himself wanted to play centre-back, but he ended up being, as we all know, good enough to play for England. So that's why I think you almost have to have Jags there. And I think if we'd seen more of someone like Kyle Walker, we may have all stuck Kyle Walker at right back. But because he was never really ours for a long period of time, we didn't get time, I think, to really take him to our hearts. So
can I just say one thing about Kyle Walker as well? When he did play for us, a lot of the time we played kind of Kevin Blackwell long ball. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why Tottenham took him back off us, because we weren't playing him the way that that they wanted him to play, because it was terrible football at that point. We might have done well with Kevin Blackwell, but it was toxic football that we didn't want to see, with, I think, Darius Henderson just bashing into everybody.
Yeah, he had a great game, Walker, in that Wembley game against Burnley. He was one of the few shining lights. But yeah, he's not in our team, so we've got to stop talking about him. David, right midfield.
Most of mine are based on singular memories, and this is no exception. I have gone for Keith Gillespie.
Keith. Because,
exactly. I've gone for him because of his goal against Man United. It was a diving header. I think it was Derek Geary, actually, that crossed it in. Beautiful diving header, like early on in the game, connected with it perfectly. At that point, I thought, you know what? I think we have a chance of staying up here. How little did I know? But I think we have a chance of staying up here. And he had a great, great shot on him and a great cross on him. A quality player, obviously a bit further on in his career, but a great player to have in the squad. And also, I think it was him that came on against Reading and within about 3 seconds went off against Reading, which is quite a fun moment as well.
That goal against Charlton, just fantastic. Going against Man United, just a player I loved watching. You could tell he had at one point been almost world class, you could possibly say. And we saw him when he was still just really, really good. So, yeah, Keith Gillespie, good shout.
I think the thing is with Keith Gillespie as well, he used to be really quick. And he's one of these players that lost his pace, but just kind of channeled it in a different way, like kind of slowed down doing that, but then thought about his game and did really well. Kind of, I think he turned into a bit of not a David Beckham, but he like kind of changed his game up that way. So yeah, props to anyone who does that.
Yeah, and could have played central midfield as well as out on the right. Didn't really have a trick, but he knew what to do with the ball. His book is fantastic, highly recommended. For right midfield, though, I have gone with Paul Devlin, not just a really great player. I think he was as good a player as he is as decent a person. I think that's fair to say, having recently spoken with him with Nick, which was a true pleasure. Just a guy that got me on my feet. Very, very good player. Probably one of the best players we had at that time. And gave his all every game, right up until the end when he stopped doing that. Nick, who you've gone with at right midfield?
I'm gutted because I thought we were finally going to have three that weren't, like, kind of, we didn't have the same of. And I'm going for Paul Devlin too. And it's not because we've just spoken to him. Me and Hal both said that he was one of our favourite players from kind of like the late 90s. Probably one of our favourite players ever, obviously, putting him in this list. I'm not going to talk too much about him because you've said loads. We've said loads about him in the podcast before. So just crack on to the left wing, shall we?
I have gone with Dane Whitehouse. He was one of my childhood heroes. I'm left-footed. I wanted to be like Dane Whitehouse. I just love the way he played. I love the fact that he had the chance to leave Sheffield United, big money, lucrative moves, but he was a blade in a proper old-school way. You wouldn't get that now. It's all about the money. And he said, no, I want to stay at my club. His career was tragically curtailed by a cowardly challenge from Gareth Ainsworth, who had the opportunity many times and still has to apologise. I've had the pleasure of speaking to Dane personally about this incident, and it's still one that
another one that you've met.
I got pictures with Dane. Dane's just a great guy. He will stop and talk to you. I was at Walsall away when Gareth Ainsworth was a sub warming up, and all us Blades fans are going, Dane's gonna get you, and Dane was in the crowd with us. He was actually there because he's a proper Blade. So Dane Whitehouse has to be left midfield. David,
someone a lot later actually, and for reasons outside of football primarily, David Cottrell, because I mean he was rapid. He could play on either wing. He could put a good cross in on his day when he wanted to, and I think he lost a lot of form when he played for us, but you could tell there was a really good player there. I say outside of football because I respect how open he's been recently about his struggles, mental health wise, and I think it's important that footballers, especially sportsmen, come out and are frank about that, because it can only serve to improve conversation between people who might not necessarily talk about that.
I agree with that. Just in case you don't know, David Cottrell's middle name is George Best.
What?
His middle name is George Best. His family, massive Manchester United fans. I think he was always going to be a winger because he was raised in a family that loved football. And yeah, he was a great player. In fact, his first kind of real stint with us, if you like, that kind of half-end season under Blackwell, when he was just providing almost every goal for James Beattie. He was properly unplayable. And then it was a case of Halford or Cottrell, really, it seemed, and I felt like we could have played both of them far more. I always felt like Blackwell didn't like David Cottrell, which might have been unfair, but it always seemed like when I was listening, because I was quite close to the dugout, he was yelling at Cottrell more than anyone else. It just seemed a bit unfair, but I might be wrong on that. You know, we'll have to get Kevin Blackwell on one day to give his side.
Left midfield, I could go with someone that I met, but I'm not, because I'm not out.
Not to brag.
I think he started out as a right mid or maybe even a striker at Coventry. And I'm just going to say it's called Peter Unlove. And it's mostly for that 2002-2003 triple assault season. I thought he was unplayable in that season and scored loads of goals, scored that last minute winner against Leeds. Mm-hmm. He just scored lots of goals and I just really liked him. I've not really got anything else to say.
I agree with that. And I used to wear gloves with short sleeves just because Nuddy did. But yeah. What I would say is I'm the only one who's chosen an actual left winger. So both of your choices are null and void.
Was Dane Whitehouse not a left back at some point?
He was. All right, fine. David, have you got any final thoughts on Unlove?
He was very, very close to being my choice. I loved watching him. He made it almost acceptable to wear gloves with a short sleeve shirt. Whenever I wear gloves now, I think of Peter Unlove.
Well, you know, in that triple assault season, you could both have chosen someone who actually played on the left, which was Michael Tung.
Michael Tung,
which,
yeah.
which you haven't done, but maybe he'll feature later. This next one, I really struggled with central midfield. So because it was one that I wrestled with, there was one obvious, which is my favourite player of all time, but then the other one I really struggled with. So Nick, I'd love to know who you've gone with in central midfield.
Who did we go for, a defensive midfielder and attacking midfielder?
I have done that, yeah.
Yeah,
me too. Shall we go defensive midfield then?
Yeah.
And this player is definitely not a defensive midfielder, so I don't know why I've even said that.
You brought it up, you're on your own.
Probably, one of my top three of all time, Michael Brown, my lord. What a player. He had that one incredible season, but he was still very, very good the other seasons as well. Always chipped in with goals, that had that battling spirit. I just wanted to be Michael Brown. I wanted to hit the ball on the volley like Michael Brown. He definitely had his best time at Bramall Lane.
Yeah, he'd agree with that as well because of his goal return. I have to say, Michael Brown's got to be in there as an attacking midfielder, though. I mean,
I've got another attacking midfielder, and I couldn't leave Brownie out.
You're the one who insisted on a defensive and attacking, because I'm not fussed.
Well, I can change the rules when I want, though.
Yeah, it's your rules, and you've just changed them despite you setting them. David, you're attacking / defensive midfielder.
Well, I mean, I went for Brown in his actual position where he played in
shots fired.
I thought when he went back a bit, when he moved on and actually went back in midfield a little bit, he wasn't as good. He didn't find the form because he was much more of a attack minded player, and then he's being asked to play a defensive role and so he just starts fouling everybody. So central defensive mids. Legitimate central defensive midfielder.
Really laying it in, David. I like it.
Yeah.
So close. We're going for Sander Berger because I love him so much. I've got the jumper with the Napa Pidgey, Sander Berger with the Norwegian flag. Mm. Fantastic. But I thought way too early. So I've gone for a player that I never rated technically. I thought he had no saving graces particularly.
Oh, we know who you've gone for.
When he scored, I don't think I've ever celebrated as much. I don't ever celebrate goals as much. It is Sir Nicholas Montgomery. He was just, I mean, he just was such a good servant. He was never, I don't think I ever saw him full 90 minutes where I thought, oh, that's a good game. But he always did something in the game that you'd stand up and you'd clap and you're like, that's a great tackle, Monty. Or that's a great cross, Monty. And he was exactly what we needed in that role. After McCall, him coming in, perfect.
I saw him score at Leeds, which of course is where he's from, in that wonderful win, Neil Warnock's side, where Danny Webber made his debut. I don't think I've ever been as happy for a player as when Monty scored. So that's a great shout, David, and a proper defensive midfielder. The best moment from Monty for me, Newcastle away in the Premier League, where he turned Emre, a Turkish international, inside out and put in a pinpoint cross for super Danny Webber, one of my favourite ever away games. I have gone with a man who, when he was at it and when he could be bothered, he was the best defensive midfielder, which of course is what we're doing, that I think we've ever seen for Sheffield United in our time. And of course, there'll be people watching this saying we've missed out Curry and Woodward and Len Badger and Colquhoun. That's because we weren't alive during their time and we've only heard tale. So very sorry we haven't included them. Start your own channel. I would say Curtis Woodhouse.
Nice.
And I think I've already said, just, you know, that battling spirit, threw himself everywhere. And like I said, when he wanted it, when he was up for it, he was brilliant. He was unplayable.
And if he wants to come on a podcast, he definitely can do.
Yeah, this has become quite an advert, this podcast, for a fanzine and for future guests. So attacking midfield, well, we'll stick with you, David, because we just had your thoughts on defensive midfield and you're playing by the rules. So AMC.
It was close between two. I have gone for Michael Brown. I just think that one season, he was far and away the best player, I think, in the league that season. He was everything he touched turned to gold. It was a fantastic season. Very memorable. That goal against them lot was one of the most technically brilliant goals I've seen. Just so pure, the connection. Mm. So that memory alone, let alone all the other stuff he's done for us, all the things he achieved, that's enough for him to be in my team.
Okay, I'll go for another attacking midfielder. And I've got to go for, again, probably my top three of all time, Mr. Mark Duffy. I love Mark Duffy so much. Every single time Chris Wilder brought in another attacking midfielder, he just put him to the sword and he was like, no, this is my position. You're not coming in. Even though Wilder let him in, he was like, nope, I'm getting back in. Don't worry about that. And I just felt like he made the game tick. He made everything tick for us. When he didn't play, we didn't play. And everything about him, I loved the Hillsborough moment. Like, just, if he didn't create that assist, he created the assist of the assist. I just, yeah, everything about him, just, I just loved watching him play football. That's it.
Brilliantly said. I mean, I'm sure we were all thinking of players that have scored against the Pigs. You mentioned Brown and Duffy, memorable goals. Still, no one's going to pick Bobby Ford in midfield, despite him scoring against Wednesday. I believe a penalty. So I'm actually going with Mark Duffy as well, Nick. Just not that we're all picking exactly the same players. It's been very similar. But yeah, for exactly the same reasons that you said, and just such a shame that he left under the sort of cloud that he did, because it wasn't fitting for a player of Mark Duffy's genius to have left in that manner. And I think one day it'll all come out in the wash. But yeah, a real shame and a bit of a blot on the copybook. Before we move on to strikers, I haven't actually mentioned Mitch Ward. I probably should. He was.
Have you met him?
Yes, I've met him. I sponsored him when he played for York. Yeah, because he played for York for a bit, number four. I've got his shirt signed. Yeah, really great man and one of my favourite players. He was probably one of the main reasons I got into football, just because he was just so good in that first real season I got into watching the Blades. He took like every penalty. He was all over the pitch. He was a proper Blade as well. Really loved it when we scored, celebrated like us fans. So a lot of time for Mitch Ward. Wish he'd never left. He was sold on my 15th birthday. Strikers, I think we're all going to be in agreement with one of these strikers. Nick, who have you gone with?
I don't think so. Because I think you're talking about someone who still plays for the club, right?
I'm actually talking about a legend that I think we'd all have chosen.
Oh, no.
You're going to get some comment hate.
Well, I've gone for, don't know if these two would play well up front together, but I won't give you them both right now. The first one is a Norwegian striker that just oozed class, oozed elegance, and had the best celebration, the most memorable celebration that's anyone that's ever played for Sheffield United, and that is Mr. Jan Arge Fjørtoft. And he loves swearing on a podcast as well. I've never seen so much swearing from an ex-player than on that Sheffield United podcast. But I just, I think it's the time I supported Sheffield United as well. I just got into watching the Blades and just really, really enjoying how he played football. Quite similar to Mark Duffy in a way, but obviously not the same player. Just really, really enjoyed how he played the game of football.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as you said Norwegian, I didn't think you were going to go with Erik Ton, but Fjortoff, just fun. His best sort of goal return, as in goals per game ratio, was at Sheffield United. The fact that he celebrated in the way he did, it looked like he just loved the game so much, made him really easy to like. David, your striker, first one.
It is Dr. Wayne Anthony Allison.
Chief!
Chief. Free transfer. You just couldn't knock him about. He'd get headers. He was in, he started both of the semi-finals, the two legs against Liverpool and the other semi-final. He was great in that season. He didn't have the best goal return, but that wasn't what he was there for. He is a doctor. He's got a PhD in sports science. He's basically, for me, Sheffield United's Socrates. And I loved Socrates. I thought he was a fantastic player. So I will not hear anything against Dr. Allison being up front, in my team anyway.
I love it. I was at Crystal Palace away, travelling the Blades fans away coach. He actually got bricked afterwards. It was a very long trip back. Very cold Tuesday night. And Paddy Kenny got seriously injured in that game. Phil Jagielka went in goal. Undlove scored. And Chief Wayne Allison scored. And we won 2-1. Andy Johnson got their penalty. Just a great away day. And I love Chief Wayne Allison from that moment onwards. So very, very happy with that pick. As we said, it's favourite, not best. I've gone with Brian Dean because it's Brian Dean. Nick, your next striker.
Well, it's not Brian Dean, and I think that's what you were aiming
for. Yeah, I just can't believe we haven't all gone with Dino, but maybe David has.
I'll tell you the reason why I got with Brian Dean is because the first time that he was with us, I don't remember. The second time he was with us, we only had him for half a season, and I liked Jan-Erik Fjortoff better. I thought he was a brilliant player, don't get me wrong, I thought he was great, but I just never took to him like a lot of people did, and the thing is, all my family loved Brian Dean. I had him on the back of my shirt once because I was made to have him on the back of my shirt. But I think sometimes when you're a kid and your dad or you, like, I've got two sisters and both of them love Brian Dean. It was like, everybody loved this one guy. I'm like, I want to like someone else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're a contrarian. I respect that.
Yeah, I never really took to him as much as everybody else did. And then obviously the third time he came back. Yeah, we'll move on. So yeah, the one that I've gone for is Mr. James Beattie, absolute goal machine. And if we wouldn't have sold him, we'd have gone up that season. No problem. I think we swapped him for a lot worse Beattie.
Don't.
I won't. Don't worry.
Still too soon.
but yeah, it just shows that, same with the Ched Evans thing, if you lose your focal point, you just lose everything. And we just weren't the same team without James Beattie. And I just love the guy because he scored every time he walked onto that pitch, I felt like he scored. A lot of them may have been penalties. I remember him taking a really nice free kick that didn't go in, but I always remember it at Bramall Lane where I can't remember exactly how it happened, but he whipped it round the wall into the bottom corner. Scored some free kicks, another one that he scored against Wednesday at Bramall Lane to make it 2-2, get us out of jail a little bit. But I just felt like every time he needed to step up and score as a goal, he did, and that's the reason why I loved him.
Well, until the Prince took over the club, we always seem to have owners that were very short-sighted. And you've mentioned there just a few players that were examples of selling when actually if we'd kept hold of them, we'd have ended up making more money because we'd have been promoted to a higher division. But selling when they were at their peak or their prime, just very, very short-sighted. David, please tell me you have gone with Brian Dean.
Well, I knew someone else was going to go for Brian Dean because he's Brian Dean. And I wrote an ode to him and to Tony Garner as well in one of the fanzines. And that will be up on the website at some point, I'm sure.
It's worth mentioning this fanzine isn't just fans because wasn't Tony Garner actually in the fanzine?
The Garner Ant, yeah.
That's it.
answering questions from fans to try and solve their problems and queries. So yeah, he Dean, obviously, incredible player. And I remember when he came back for his third stint and he came on, the shouts of Dino around the ground would make your hair stand on end. It was fantastic. I knew someone else would go for him, so I wanted to extol the virtues of another striker that I loved, and it was Paul Pescasolido.
I was going to guess that. When you said Wayne Ellison, I'm like, he can't go for Pesh, surely.
I've got to say, I think there's more goals in Nick's fullbacks that he's gone with than your two strikers, Steve.
The one reason, oh my God. I can't get that out of my head. It's the greatest moment I've ever watched for Sheffield United. Fantastic. And he proved that short people can play up front. Before Messi came along, before all these shorter players with lower sense of gravity, he was there and he was super sub. And I was always a little pesky up front when I was younger.
Nice. As a shorter gentleman myself, I'm definitely going to go along with that. So Chief Wayne Ellison and Paul Pesky Salido up front. I don't think I need to clarify that this is favourite, not best. I've gone with Billy Sharp. Because it's Billy Sharp. And you mentioned, David, a statue to Billy would not be out of place. I wish he'd had his whole career with the Blades. I know he never wanted to leave, but I guess he felt he had to because he never really got either the right service, the formation was never right to suit him, or the chances under certain previous managers. But when it clicked, it clicked. And we can only thank Nigel Atkins for one thing. No, maybe two things. One is bringing Billy back. The other one is leaving. So Billy Sharp, I salute you, sir. You've given me many a happy memory. And I think Bournemouth away will live so long in a memory of just unadulterated joy.
Manager?
Yes.
Who are we going to go for?
I mean,
I wonder who that could be. Let's not talk about Chris Wilder, because obviously we'd all pick Chris Wilder. Who else would you pick? Favourite manager? Not necessarily best favourite.
If it's not Chris Wilder, then... You know, Blades fans will expect you to say Dave Bassett or Neil Warnock as your favourite manager. Howard Kendall might come into the conversation because the football we played under Kendall was spectacular and he transformed the Blades. And I loved that 96-97 season right up until the very last second of the last game. But I am going to pick Neil Warnock just because his rants, underrated manager, brilliant man manager, and supposedly a Blade, although when he got angry and more higher pitched, he became more and more cockney. Very, very strange. David?
Looking back now we're in a better position, and we can all laugh about some of the League One years. I quite enjoy remembering some of the chaos of the Adkins era. But one person you wouldn't be saying, Davy Weir. His interview... when he's the most defeated looking individual I think I've ever seen on a football interview. When I've forgotten who we lost to, but he'd completely given up. And within about 5 days, he was gone. You could just tell his mind was in Barbados somewhere, just ready to, obviously with a lot of sun cream on being Scottish. he was just completely gone. And I just really enjoy once in a while looking at that interview and seeing a man, he's just ready to leave.
Broken man. I mean, I think if we're looking at great records, I think John Carver had a fantastic record as our manager for that very short time he was caretaker. Nick, I think I know who you're going to go with, but surprise me.
I'm not going to go for one of the... obviously, Neil Warnock, it probably would be. But I'm going to be honest, the season where Nigel Clough saved us from David Weir, we just... Once we got through that transitional period from Weir to Clough, we just seemed to win every single game. And I think if that season lasted two or three games longer, we'd have got into the playoffs and then would have gone straight up. Yeah. I just really, really enjoyed going to, like, week in, week out, going to, like, Rochdale and Oldham and just making up teams now. But we just go there. And I just know before we'd even kick off that we were going to win 4-0 or 5-1 or something like that. I really enjoyed that period. It was just a bit of a gutting end to it, really, because we obviously got through to the semi-final. We had a really, really great day out as well. Obviously didn't end perfectly, but we had some great moments under Clough that year. And then obviously after that, downhill. But yeah, I really enjoyed that season, but it probably would be Neil Warnock because I didn't remember Dave Bassett.
You really enjoyed that season, David Taylor. I've really enjoyed this little trip down memory lane. Loved hearing about the fanzine. Looking forward to the next edition, which will be landing on my doorstep soon.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm in it as well. So do get it, Blades, because I'm much more amusing on the written word. Nick, as ever, thank you so much. And David, hopefully we'll speak to you again in the near future. Who knows, we'll come up with some other crazy idea to get you on. But I hope you've enjoyed this kind of content. If you have...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.